David Freese is joining us this morning, State Representative of the 116th District. First off, David, morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
You know, it's interesting because for about 3 or 4 weeks, when Robert and I meet and go, what are we going to do next? Your name keeps coming up, and I say, I got to find a reason to talk to David. I haven't talked to him so long, he's going to think I don't love him anymore. And you know, it's interesting because no more than I had said that, I saw this press release, and it jumped right out at me because of some of the things that you want to address, and you've introduced legislation, in fact, 4 bills, but one when it comes to armed school security that I found very interesting, and teachers, dealing with teachers in this issue, too.
Yes, and people have to understand, this is not compulsory. If teachers want to do this, I think they should have the right to do this. It just makes logical sense to me from my perspective. I mean, if you've got an active shooter, a school shooter, the people who are on the scene, if they're armed and trained, are going to be the best individuals to respond and react to that on such a short notice. I mean, because what happens, you hear gunshots, somebody calls the police, it's going to take, you know, depending on where your police officers are, it's going to take, you know, maybe 7-10 minutes to get there, and you can have a tremendous loss of life in that time period, unfortunately. So, I mean, if we have teachers that want to go through the training, and are willing to do that, I'm all for that. And we should at least look at that.
You know, and what's interesting, David, I saw this through another prism. I saw this through the School Reform Act. When it, at some point, when you read this entire document, talk about law enforcement officers, is it the Criminal Reform Act? It's one of the two. You're not allowed to have a police officer on a school grounds unless there is an imminent threat to students, which, by the way, doesn't say imminent threat to staff or teachers. It says imminent threat to students. If you have an imminent threat, it's already too late.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate that they're pursuing that. I mean, we have head school resource, they're called school resource officers. Yes, they're an armed police officer. They're trained. They're police officers, and I don't understand their logic. If they think that there is the community does not look favorable upon police officers, what better way to have the student body, young people, have a very positive interaction with police officers? I mean, that person is going to be on site at the school. When the school's open, they're going to have a rapport with the student body. They're going to be able to talk to people. If a student has issues with something, that police officer would be there to maybe intervene before something goes south, before something goes horribly wrong. Again, doesn't make any sense to me. I really think that we should have, again, if the schools want to have a police officer or a school resource officer, it doesn't make any sense why we don't, you know, encourage that.
And, you know, what I find interesting is I've talked to law enforcement agents, officers who are school resource officers, and they almost universally talk about the positive relationships they've dealt with, especially the ones who have been doing it for a number of years and then know these students as they grow up. They talk about this positive influence, DARE programs, among others. Now, this is not the only issue that you're bringing up. Another one is something more and more people talk about. People are leaving the state of Illinois. We have to do things to attract them, jobs, economic opportunities, supporting things, supporting businesses and larger business plans. And this is where your Kaskaskia Regional Port District comes into play with some proposed legislation as well.
That is correct. Yeah, because I can't tell you how many people during my campaign the progressive tax was on the ballot as well. And so many people said, hey, if this goes through, I am out of here. They were just done. And I personally know people that have left the state because of the tax burden and the, if you want to call it, hostility towards business. We really need to refocus our efforts on, one, keeping people here, what's that going to do and take, and keeping business here. In addition, what it's going to take to attract new business to the state of Illinois. I mean, I don't know. You look at the business climate, and very few, if anybody, is going to want to relocate their business from, say, Texas to Illinois. It's just the way things are structured right now, we need to turn that around. And I think the Kaskaskia Port Authority is one way to do that. If we can have some growth there, that would help some, because I've talked to some of the local businesses. If we can grow some of the things associated with the Kaskaskia Port Authority, that would help their business, and that would be additional jobs, good paying jobs, not a part-time gig. So I think it would really benefit our local community.
All right. Now, today at noon, a blending of the State of the State address and the budget address. David, from what you know, the popular number, published number, reported number is a $3 billion deficit. What have you heard?
I'm embarrassed to say I have a couple press releases or emails that came through late yesterday. I have not gone through my emails. I've heard there's going to be a deficit, but I don't know what number that's going to be.
Yeah, and we're talking about, also the worries about whether we'll see a federal stimulus bill that's issued here. You've got pensions. We're up against it. What do you hope to hear today? Now, of course, the governor has already said, the governor's office, they will not have a tax increase proposal. They're going to redirect some business taxes, uncoupling and the blue-collar tax. But what have you heard about the budget when it comes to, what do you hope to hear about the budget today at noon?
Well, I hope, and I've heard the same thing, that no proposed new taxes, which is a blessing. But we really need to look at our budget in a very financial, fiscal manner. And if we can cut spending and maybe cut the rate of growth on programs, that's what we really need to do. And that's what I would love to hear from the governor. There's no reason why. And I was on a Zoom call, an orientation, and there was a couple Democrats on that same call. And as we were going from in and out of meetings, there was a Democrat, God bless him, he said, you can't tell me that you look at these agencies and that they cannot cut 2-5% of their budget. So if a Democrat can say that, and if he can get some of his other colleagues on board, then maybe we can get our budget under control. That's what I would love to see. Love to see that.
It's interesting because a letter was sent to that effect by State Senator Chapin Rose and State Representative Tom Demmer yesterday, saying they want to see a line item details are not provided, and they want to see these when it comes to the release of the list of $711 million in reductions that the governor has proposed. Where is it being cut? Saying, we respectfully ask that you provide copies of your agency's responses to the potential budget cuts and efficiencies requested by the governor. So people are saying, okay, let's see these cuts. Before I let you go, it's interesting. I was reading a press release from State Representative David Severin about Chris Emanuel Welch taking over the Speaker's House, right? Speaker. Mm-hmm. Everybody was anticipating, a change of the guard, change of rules, different times. It had been promised by the Speaker. But whenever I finished reading the press release, my summation was, well, the new boss is the same as the old boss. That was the way I kind of distilled that press release.
Yeah, and here's I don't know Speaker Welch. I met him when we voted on the rules, and him and some of his other colleagues said, hey, there's, and I'm an optimist. Okay, so they were saying, look, this isn't the end of it. There may be additional rule changes. We're going to have meetings. So my hope is that as he settles into being the new speaker, he looks at the rules, he understands and appreciates that the way things have operated in the past under Madigan were not the best way, not only for the state legislature, but for the citizens of the state of Illinois as a whole, and especially in any district where they're represented by a Republican. If you can't get bills heard or voted on, that's a real shame.
Right.
So my hope is that as he settles in, he looks at these, he does an evaluation and says, hey, look, we really need to have up and down votes on bills, even if it's, brought by a Republican. There's no reason why the Republicans are completely shut out because, hey, we've got good ideas. we do, and we should have an opportunity to have those bills heard on the floor. We really do.
It's interesting, David, because you just nailed it. I cannot tell you how many representatives over the years that I've been involved in this type of thing have come to me and said, Illinois committees in the House are where good ideas go to die.
Yes. Yeah, and it is a crying shame. And again, Welch has made some representations that this is not the end of it. They're going to look at the rules. So I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic that we can make these changes in the rules and good bills, regardless of who sponsors them, regardless of who brings them up. You know, they can get an up or down vote. I mean, yeah. Wouldn't that be something? Instead of one party or one person dictatorial rule.
You know, it's interesting, people listening to you and I talk about the school resource offices and grants to be able to have armed security guards in schools. And Joe from Carterville just texted me this message. I think it's interesting. I want to share it with you, David. Why is it that someone who defends themselves are more likely to get charged for using a firearm than the criminal who uses it to commit a crime? I think that's really an interesting insight.
It is. Now, I don't know that that's true, because I think a lot of it's going to be driven by your local state's attorney. Because that's the person that brings charges. And if you are in a conservative area and you've got a conservative state's attorney and you defend yourself or your family via a firearm, I know in Randolph County, in Monroe County, I don't see the state's attorney prosecuting you for defending yourself or your family.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Good.
Now, if you're in Cook County with Fox up there, that's a different story. But in this area, I think you're going to have the right to do that, and I don't see you being prosecuted.